Well, have you ever been to a cave before? I know that there are hundreds of caves and caverns that you can tour all over Montana. And one vivid memory I have as a kid is touring Karchner Caverns with my grandparents in Arizona. And on the tour, we went and we saw all of the specially lit stalactites and stalagmites. I still can't remember which one is which. And at the end of the tour, we were led into this great big room, the big cavern ballroom, whatever they called it. And they had a little light show that revealed all of these different rock formations. And at the end, the tour guide showed us how dark this room was to the first cave splunkers and explorers that came through. And he turned off all the lights. And it was so dark that I even had my hand and I touched my nose and I still couldn't see it. And for a 12-year-old, it was an incredibly disorienting 20 seconds. And our story in Jonah continues today with Jonah in the belly of the fish, dark, dank, and unsettling. You know, I could just imagine Jonah after being thrown into the sea, and now the fish in the belly of the fish, and now he's touching his nose the same way I did in Karchner Caverns, and not being able to see anything in front of him. You know, he could be thinking, what do I do now? And now, if you remember last week, of course, we're doing a sermon series on the book of Jonah. Jonah, son of Amittai, is his name, or son of faithfulness, as the joke goes. Well, Jonah isn't really what you would call the most faithful, selfless, and fearless prophet of all time. In fact, he buys a ticket in the opposite direction of where God wants him to go, and he knows that this storm is because of him, and so in almost a diva-like fashion, calls himself to be thrown into the ocean. One would think then, after being swallowed by the fish and given the history that we know of this character of Jonah, that he would be sitting in the fish, cursing, moaning, complaining about where he was. Because after all, he couldn't see anything. It is figuratively and literally a dark time for Jonah. But here's the thing, is that he doesn't curse or moan or complain. In fact, he starts to pray and he starts to sing. I called to the Lord out of my distress and he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol or the valley of the dead. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You brought up my life from the pit. Whoa. What's going on here? This isn't the Jonah that we expect. Clearly, something in him has changed as he is sitting in this dark belly of a fish. How can incomplete darkness, how can Jonah see anything hopeful, let alone praise God for bringing up his life? Well, perhaps because in the belly of the fish, Jonah is forced to see a little differently. I had a friend in high school who struggled with depression a lot. And he once described to me what it felt like when he was in one of his lows. And he described it to me as being kind of like in a glass capsule, which you can't really break free from. And you can see everyone around you. I'm envisioning kind of like a Star Trek, one of those capsule things. And you can see everything around you and everyone around you living their lives as usual, but your interaction with them is limited. You can't break free. You're encapsulated in your own muck. And eventually, after medication and working with a therapist, my friend works through and develops some tools in which to navigate these lows of depression. I remember him saying to me, this may sound weird, but I actually have learned to appreciate my lows in some ways. And looking at him in that high school kind of like, what? Really? Why? And he said to me, he said, because they give me an opportunity to evaluate and to see myself differently. Because if everything is going well, if everything is hunky-dory, well, there's no real need to stop. You just keep on going. It's by seeing myself differently, he said, in my lows, that can usually get me out of them. I think this is what Jonah is talking about when he says, you brought me and my life up from the pit. He is seen in this dark and smelly and dreary belly of a fish now has a moment to look at himself and at God walking with him in a different light. Ironically, even when he can't see the hand in front of his face, he can see God's love more clearly than anything. Even though he saw himself initially as someone who didn't want to be a prophet, no. He wanted to be somebody who just lived his normal life. But yet, now he sees himself differently. His life, once again, is rising, just like the fish, and is praising God. It's literally that death to life thing. For when you die and are reborn, you are able to see things a little differently. It's no wonder then that the early Christians knew the story of Jonah backwards and forwards. In fact, even Jesus himself brings up the book of Jonah in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, when he says, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so for 3 days and three nights the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. Christians compared Jesus' death and resurrection in a lot of ways to Jonah's death and resurrection. It's literally from death to life. And when you come from death into life, you see things a little bit differently. So maybe then we need to be in the belly of the fish sometimes. And I don't mean to be a nihilistic type and to share the view that some share of wishing suffering on people in order for them to learn or to be better. What I mean is that sometimes experiences, which initially seem like they are too much or impossible, like not being able to see the hand in front of your face because it's too dark, these experiences actually turn out to be experiences that reveal God working through us in radical ways. And you know, the word used when the fish spews Jonah out into land is another interesting one. I told you last week, well, keep your joke counter out here because Jonah is written as a comedy. Well, this is joke number two. Because the Hebrew word for when the fish spews Jonah out onto land literally means to upchuck with force. Literally, Jonah was thrown out of the fish. He's being brought up, all right. Literally being tossed out of the fish into a new land, a new perspective, a new opportunity. From death to life. About 2 weeks ago, I was notified by Lydia Perry that her family found a new home. and will be moving out of our church home in mid-August. And it's sad, in a way, because we have loved their care and their warmth around our church just next door, and we'll miss them, even though they're only going to be 10 miles away. But even so, after they told me this news, I kind of felt like I was in the belly of the fish a little bit as the new pastor here, and I was like, oh boy, what are we going to do now? Who's going to live in the church home now? And I felt this despite the fact of being excited for them in their family's new chapter in life and their continual connection with our church. You never know what will happen in the belly of a fish. Or it just so happens that another opportunity has been sent our way and the use of our church home. A previous school teacher contacted me about 2 months ago. She has been teaching in Bonner School and has approached me about her passionate idea of renting our church and using our church space as a new preschool. You see, there are this many licensed preschools in Bonner, and the need for them and in this community is astronomical. In fact, we have learned a little bit through our community mapping interviews that this need is very real. This teacher has about 6 families already asking if they can reserve a spot in her new preschool, and she hasn't even officially advertised yet. Over the past 2 weeks, members from your church council and I, along with this prospective tenant, have researched this idea and tried to figure out, you know, this idea that landed in our laps. Is this actually possible? And after many conversations with multiple county and state agencies, other churches that rent out space for preschools, and even a lawyer, we have found that actually it is quite possible. In fact, from our church's standpoint, it's not very difficult to do. There would not be much of anything we would have to do to the house in order for it to be safe space for kids. And it is a new way of seeing that space. But it's also something that our church needs to have a conversation about and discern about together. And certainly there are questions and challenges that still remain with this type of tenant. And so I encourage you to attend our congregational meeting next week, July 17th, after worship, to hear more about this opportunity and to offer your input. And you know, in many ways, I didn't even know this opportunity was going to happen 2 weeks ago. And so due to the relative speed in which things have happened, I feel a little bit like Jonah being upchucked with force out of the fish into the new land of opportunity. And due to the fact of never really having thought of using our church home as a space for preschool kids before, it becomes a new way, perhaps, of our church to practice a new way of seeing. From death to life, right? And so, as we are thrown with force from the fresh belly of this fish, may we see things a little differently. And may we walk together in this time, knowing that nothing, nothing is impossible with God. Amen.